Aloha.
Hello and welcome. We are back from TheMullerLifestyle.com. This is The Muller Lifestyle. My name is Brian Beckner. This is episode number 500 of the Baller Lifestyle Podcast. Very exciting. Thank you very much for joining us. Thank you to Super Lee and Ben906 and Dolomite D and Stu and Mateo and Dave and San Clemente and Erica and Laura, who sent me a Baller Lifestyle, a TBLS pineapple themed baseball jersey with my name on it, Beckner, and the number 69. So that's cool. That's a really exciting and thoughtful item, and I really appreciate all of you guys sending that along. That was very nice of you. If you'd like to reach out, you have some memories of the show, let us know. It doesn't have to be on the show date. We weren't even going to record a regular show this week. Hold on, I need to do not disturb my computer. 500 episodes in, I'll learn how to do that. We weren't even going to record a regular show. We did a special episode where we reviewed the great Thanksgiving or the football-themed movie in honor of Thanksgiving, the great football holiday that is Thanksgiving. We reviewed the movie, a childhood favorite high school football movie, Wildcats. So if you have thoughts on that, reach out. Any thoughts on the 500 episodes of the show, we'd love to hear from you. Mailbag at theballerlifestyle.com is the email address. I've spoken to the end of my breath for some reason. Also, you can send us a voicemail, 949-464-TBLS. I am joined now, as always, by the great 500 episodes in, and he still hangs out here for basically free, Ed Daly. Ed, how are you, buddy?
Doing well. I think you mentioned, like, oh, we're at 480-something. I was like, oh, shit, we got to do something super special for 500. And then it's like, well, we'll just deal with the next month. And now it's like 500 is like, oh, we did have Travis on to talk about a movie. So that's kind of special. Like,
that was good, right? Like,
it's such bullshit. Like, we're just doing a show. It's fun. Yeah. It's fun, but like, there is no 500 spectacular. Right. It's just 500.
And it's, we're here doing it every week. You know, it's like,
yeah.
It's hard to go like, what are we doing in 6 weeks? And then, you know, we got lives and we don't have producers.
We did do a special episode for 227. Remember, I reviewed an episode of 227 and like, and I think Pee Wee Herman was on it. Yeah. It was super weird.
We probably didn't have the revelation that the neighbor's husband was portrayed by the great Show Nuff, the same guy that played Show Nuff, turned out to be the name. We learned that on the whatever episode that was.
On The Last Dragon.
The Last Dragon. We reviewed The Last Dragon and we determined that Show Nuff was actually also on 227. Because back then, if there was a black thing, you just only had a certain group of black people that could be in black things. So there'd be like five black things and it's the same black people in every black thing.
Like in the 60s when a television show had to show
Native Americans?
Asian people.
Oh, yeah.
they would use Mexicans.
Yeah. Right? Or swarthy Italian guys.
Yes. Yeah.
Just because find me somebody with some swarth. We don't have the right kind of swarth.
The casting, what are they called? Casting agents or casting directors?
Yeah, both.
I mean, you know, when people are like, if I had a time machine, I'd go kill Hitler. It's like, if you just want to set your family up for life, just go be a casting director in the 50s and 60s. And it's like, oh, I actually know what people actually look like. Yeah. And I'll just do this and I'll be great. There were two people and they did a shitty job at it.
Yeah, very true. Very true. So I figured. Oh, by the way, before I do need a little bit of self-promotion here, Silver Point Sports, the TikTok venture that I am the face of this week. I don't think I mentioned before that we were shadow banned. Silver Point Sports got shadow banned because our picks were too hot. So I made a post that we posted this weekend. Ed, we went 5-0 on college and NFL this weekend. We overcame the shadow banning and just continued to dominate Silver Point Sports. We had your Terps.
This troubles me so much because I took a bath this weekend in both.
Yeah.
I've been doing pretty well this year, but I did terrible, including betting against my Terps. And I just never, like, I don't check things with any regularity.
Yes.
And so, like, you're telling me you went 5-0, and I think I went the equivalent of, like, 40% picks this weekend.
We went 5-0, and again, this, I want to make
it. So when do you post? Like, maybe, like, what, how does it work? Yeah,
so I've been posting them to Twitter. That's the thing. Okay. We post them pretty approximate to when the game starts. So usually about,
like, you know, right before game time,
not right before, but morning of usually. Well, so okay, here,
so if I check your Twitter,
yep, I'm going to be like, sharing them.
Yeah. Like before the early kickoff.
Yeah. Here I'll go. Hold on. Oh no, that's the wrong button here. Here, I'll play an example of what we did this weekend to give everybody a taste. And look, this one I did. This one I was really fucked up in a hotel room in Austin, Texas. I don't even know if I want to play it because it's so embarrassing, but we were right on all the picks. Listen.
Brian Beckner, Silver Point Sports, with your college football point spread winners for today, November 18th, 2023. Today, we like the Maryland Terrapins, plus 20. You might have to buy a half point there, but get them at plus 20. Take the North Carolina State Wolfpack, plus 3.
Okay.
Also, Central Florida, plus 3. Again, you might have to buy a half point.
Oh, my God.
Maryland, plus 20. North Carolina State, plus 3. Central Florida, plus 3.
Look, I couldn't have picked a worse example. I didn't realize it was that bad when I made it in the middle of the night.
Yeah, the picks went 3-0.
They were 3-0 there.
I picked against my alma mater.
Well, my people, like, my people. And
Maryland doesn't do well in these kind of games.
I will share these. I will share these with you when I post them, Ed, just in case, because I know you like to keep an eye on things. And just keep me honest. Here's Saturdays. Sundays. This will just be a hungover version. Hopefully I sound a little bit better than that last one here.
Brian Beckner, Silver Point Sports, with your NFL Sunday point spread winners for today, November 19th, 2023.
Much more sober.
By now you are aware that we were 3-0 again yesterday in college football. And I get asked a lot, Brian, you guys are such consistent winners. You guys win at a rate I've just never seen before. Why can't you give us more?
This is our philosophy. I'm giving out the philosophy.
And we here at Silver Point Sports have a system, and we are adherent to that system.
This means this is what they tell me.
It is a disciplined system. So we only give you the games that we feel have a realistic, high percentage chance of being winners for you, and we have shown you that.
Get to the picks, Brian.
Consistently.
Come on.
So play with us. There's only two games today.
Two games.
But that's because there's only two games that our algorithm identified, and we highly encourage you to play these games.
What games are they?
Take the Green Bay Packers, plus 3. Also, take the Chicago Bears, getting 8 points. Green Bay, plus 3. Chicago, plus 8. Enjoy your football Sunday.
That's a 5-0 weekend, Ed.
Brian Beckner, Silver.
It's amazing. That's a 5-0 weekend. You know, when I was a kid,
yeah,
I would have known the opponents.
Yeah.
But you're telling me, like, I have no idea who either of them played. So I'm taking your word for it. You went 5-0. But
so,
the only game I know
is
I know Maryland lost to Michigan by 7.
That's right.
The rest of them, like, I don't know shit anymore.
I don't either. I only know because I don't know who the NC State Wolfpack played, but I believe they won outright. We had them plus 3. Central Florida, I know they're called the Knights, but I only know that because I picked them one other time in one of our posts, but I don't know who they played, and I think they might have won outright as well. But yeah, I don't know this stuff. I don't know anything, but I communicate stuff that people know to the audience at large, and so follow me on TikTok, Silver Point Sports.
That's right. You got the answer.
That's right. I got that. Somebody in one of the comments said, "Do you have Biff's Almanac?" And that's a legitimate question.
Fair. The only thing I would say before you move on,
tell me,
is I did something both exciting and manly just before we started.
Okay, hold on. I want to guess.
It's seasonal related.
Okay. Oh, you chopped down your own Christmas tree.
No, not yet.
Okay. Hold on. You foiled a robbery. Some guys were stealing Santa's.
Yeah, Chiefsaholic. I saw him going through town. I got him.
You saw Xavier Boubidon.
I just put my turkey in the brine.
Delicious. Yeah. It's the only way. Oh,
so excited.
Yeah. Brine that bird. You get it nice and juicy. And everyone's going to go, oh, it's like, Ed, juicy turkey. You got this turkey nice and juicy.
Yeah.
You're going to be brined in compliments.
Salt, brown sugar, yep. Apple cider, garlic, peppercorns, some orange peels. There's like all kinds of stuff in there.
Yeah.
It's magical when it comes out.
Are you going to know the breast direction, unlike David Silver's mom?
Oh, yeah.
You screwed that up before?
I don't subscribe. She was locked up in a loony bin. Yeah. So
for going breast side down or breast side up, was
it? Yes. No, she went breast side down.
Oh, right. But it seems like you'd want the breast side down because the breasts are dry and all the juices go that way, no?
Yes, but I tried it.
Yeah?
And guess what?
No.
It still was kind of slimy up top. And like because you know what? Like, I'm the fucking idiot. I was like, you know, I did hear from someone that the breast side should be down because the breasts are kind of dry and this helps. And then I was like, I heard from someone. It was David Silver's mother on 90210. What a fucking idiot I am. So
who was later institutionalized.
Yes, she was like, and then she just, you know, she was unhoused. Like, she just had problems. Like, she didn't make clear decisions.
Obviously, clearly. Yeah, that's not who you want to be your oracle.
Way the bird is supposed to sit in the pan, right. And it's not David Silver's mom's preferred method.
Right, obviously. Okay, we do have a movie that we're going to be discussing later with dear friend of the show and really just everyone's favorite, the great Travis Rogers, who came, and spoiler alert, who came here to the Ball Lifestyle World headquarters and recorded the show extremely uncomfortably about one
right
foot
next to the workbench.
Yeah,
right
where I have sex. He was just out of the corner of his eye the whole time. Like, he was making eye contact with me, but out of the corner of his eye, he was just like looking to see if there was, there might've been a musk coming from that area. You know, you never know. You never know.
And you pointed out like when you inhale, you're inhaling a small part of the goals of the incident.
I was just thinking about that the other day. I'm like, when did I use that? I knew I had just said something.
You equated your love.
Yes.
After shock juices.
Yeah.
With when someone inhales vomit and they get particles.
somebody pointed that out to me one time. So I thought I would point it out to Travis. It didn't help. It made him more uncomfortable.
I was across the country and and he didn't even say anything. I could feel his discomfort.
For sure. Okay. Before we get to that, let's bang out a few voicemails. I know people wanted to reach out because it was episode 500 and don't feel like you've missed the moment. If you would like to reach out, please do. You have the number, you have the email address. We would love to hear from you, but we also enjoyed hearing from these guys.
He's so easy to hate. Your time he likes to waste. His calls are far from great. His calls are far from great. He's such a stupid fuck. He seems down on his luck. His voicemails really suck. His voicemails really suck. No one's enjoying him. He's so annoying. Plus so fucking boring and worthless. But he's got nothing else to do. And he's even worse than Ish. His thoughts are useless.
It's too bad Ish couldn't be with us here to celebrate this momentous occasion.
How many do you think he got to?
I mean,
do you think it was a clean break when there was a shift in?
I think it was I think we lost him I think we lost him before the lineup change, because that was around 290, I think. So
before Wally Pipp got replaced in the lineup,
exactly. Before we had to shuffle the batting order,
the deck.
Yeah, I think he was out.
Shuffle out the non-comedy portion of the program.
His favorite character was replaced, and by replaced, she was replaced by no one. They were replaced by no one. Okay, here's a couple quick voicemails. Oh no,
you traveled.
Oh my god, screwed up.
Hey guys, it's Super Lee. In my new travels, last week I was in bumfuck Nebraska. This week I am in Salt Lake City, and I'm going to hunt down our guy, David Bray.
Did I play this already?
You played it last
week? I just love hearing from Super Lee so much. Super Lee, thank you for that.
I love Super Lee, love David, but
I thought it sounded
pretty sure this was last
week. I thought it sounded familiar. Okay, here's another one.
Hey, man, Baller, Brian, Ed.
Stu.
So I haven't called in for a minute, but I've been neglecting my duties and responsibilities in many ways. But before I get fucking rambling and I lose my point, if I even had one. So, okay, here we go. I don't know, like 6 weeks ago, I watched Quigley Down Under. Apparently, Tom Selleck was a fucking cowboy movie making guy in like the late 90s. In the late 80s, whatever. And the woman in it, I'm not.
What's that?
I think this was CBS product.
No.
Or was it TNT?
No, Quigley Down Under was a theatrical release.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because he did Lasseter. Remember with Gene Simmons?
What?
Yeah, he had a little.
Still like a Gene Simmons?
Yes, he had a little movie career. I believe Paulina Poroskova. I mean, Ed, put it on the list.
This joins.
We might not need to review Lasseter.
I've never seen it, and I've never known Gene Simmons to do anything but promote Kiss junk.
Well, he's the bad guy in Lasseter, starring Tom Selleck. And then I believe Tom Selleck also did Quigley Down Under, which that might have been the one with Paulina Poroskova.
No, her alibi was Tom Selleck and Paulina.
That's
Poroskova.
Right. That's another movie he did. Yes. These are all theatrical releases, though.
Pretty sure I vigorously masturbated to that movie at one point.
She was something else back in the day.
She certainly was. Rico Kasich.
Yeah.
And then he was like, he was playing with house money all those years. And then like a year before he died, he's like, you're out, Paulina.
Yeah. He told her to fuck off, even though they were already separated and she convalesced him. Near his bedside, and then he was just like, nah, never mind. I'll give it to the kids.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it was a tough turn for her.
Yeah, big time.
I'm not going to get into it, but she's an actress, and she was like a doctor on a bunch of like late-night soaps and all of that, like TV stuff. I don't know.
Oh, Jane Seymour. Is he talking Jane Seymour? Okay, now I got to look up.
Dr. Quinn? Is he talking Dr. Quinn, medicine woman? Yes,
Quigley Down Under. I mean, Jane Seymour had a moment.
She certainly did.
Yeah.
She was hot in a lot of stuff, but when Live and Let Die, I believe that was Roger Moore's first Bond. That's when they went down to Jamaica, and she was like the hot new thing.
She was. I recall that. Okay.
Solitaire? I think her name was like Solitaire or something.
Sharpshooter Matt Quigley is hired from Wyoming by an Australian rancher paying a very high price. But when Quigley arrives down under, all is not as it seems. I was way off. Laura San Giacomo.
Oh.
San Giacomo.
She got him out in certain movies.
Yes, she did.
She was in the show with David Spade. What's that?
Just Shoot Me.
Just Shoot Me.
Yes, she also had a moment. Yes, she did.
She had some upper body strength.
She might have got him out in this. Oh, and the great. How old is this? How fucking old is this guy? The great Australian actor Ben Mendelsohn, late of the most recent Star Warses. Yeah. Is in this?
He was good. He was like Rogue One guy, right?
Yes, he's very good.
He was good.
Also in this, a pre Die Hard Alan Rickman, Ed.
Oh, no, not pre. This is 1990. Die Hard came out in.
Oh, is it 1990? Oh, okay. A post diehard Alan Rickman.
I Googled Quigley Down Under, and you know how like Google gets people asking, and it says, how accurate is Quigley Down Under? Like, there's someone who Googled that.
How accurate is any Western? Like, not very.
No.
First of all, where's all the black cowboys? Okay. Hold on. We're spoiling the great Guru Stew's review, as he likes to do review a stewie.
But her eyebrows indicate that her hairy areolas go down to her Kurt Gowdy.
He's talking about Laura San Giacomo.
Oh, I like her. I don't mind that at all.
Fan.
Yeah.
Big fan.
Oh, yes.
But anyway. And speaking of which, so I watched.
Also, and this is unpopular, I like a healthy bush. I'm not
afraid of it.
Yeah.
Not afraid of it.
It's kind of retro, reminds you of high school a little bit. Like, there's nothing wrong with a nice, healthy, beautiful, sexy bush. Yes.
Gross. I don't want to pretend the person I'm with is not a woman.
That's right. That's true. Yes. Yes. I want to know I'm with an adult. I agree with that.
Point blank a couple weeks ago.
Oh, gross point blank. That's a great
one. You know, because it was on my internet. It was weird. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so. It's Mini back, Driver. Yeah, that's the thing. You know, I'd like to match.
She did. I stood next to her at a concert one time, Ed.
You vibing?
No, she wasn't. She wasn't vibing me like Mary Stuart Masterson was that one time. But she was very tall. Not very tall, but probably like 5'11". Yeah. Yes, very statuesque.
I was a fan around this era.
Yeah.
I'm sure she's attractive now, but sure. I just remember I was a fan of Gross Point Blank, and that is an underrated movie.
It is. I believe that's when John Cusack was still drinking, but that is a good movie.
Yeah.
After that, so I looked her up, and yes. Her man's 10 years younger.
What happens in there?
There's a good line that I always liked. He goes back to his, it's about a hitman that goes back to the high school reunion.
Yep.
And he goes back to his high school home, and it has since been taken over by like a 7-Eleven. He goes, you can't go home again, but you can shop there.
Yes, I recall that. I might have to rewatch that this weekend. It's a funny movie.
Yeah, good movie.
Yeah. Then her, he looks like he's got a limp wrist for whatever that means. I don't know. It's just my opinion. It's dumb. But you know, she's not a maxi driver because she's with some dude that's 10 years younger than her. So
good for her.
Anyway, I'm over that. This is what I really called about straight sports take. Geno Smith sucks. I decided this weekend, even though they beat the Commanders, that he sucks, and he's got the mentality of a backup.
Yeah.
He's been a backup his whole fucking career.
Well, most NFL
quarterbacks suck. There's good quarterbacks in front of him. Yeah, there's other teams in the league. He wanted to be a backup. He's a backup. When you expect him to be a starter, that's when the trouble starts. Your expectations cannot be met because he is a backup. That's all he's...
Wait, Ed, I was watching... Watch CJ Stroud. He had to leave the field for one play.
He's awesome.
Yeah, he's so good. And then some white guy came in that I never heard of. And I'm like, best gig in the league. And I'm like, you know, this guy wants to get out of there so quickly. And he took,
I don't want to be exposed. Yes. I could milk this for like 7 years. Yes.
He took one snap from shotgun and completed a screen for a gain of like 2 yards and then immediately left the field. And he's like, yes, I earned my $1.5 million.
So that's when the car dealer, when they just want to leave the table and they go and then walk away.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. They show you their hands.
Right. Right. I'm good.
I'm good.
No pick.
Yep.
I'm clapping.
Zero mistakes.
Holding any cards.
That's right.
I'm going back to the clipboard.
Positive yardage.
He's ever going to be. So get a different quarterback. And I realized that because Josh Allen, I was like, shit, he ain't doing anything. Like, yeah, Josh Allen last night was not very good. Anyway, love your balls.
Yep.
No.
Fair. Straight sports take. I appreciate that. Here's another one.
Hey, Brian and Ed. Jeff in Denver.
I love Jeff in Denver.
Wanted to say congratulations on episode 500. Most podcasts, I would imagine, don't make it that far. So I appreciate you guys and what you do, as I'm sure we all do.
Most podcasts don't make it 2 episodes. So we're...
Yeah. Most podcasts, like, they peter out at, like, 6,
yes.
4.
So we're 250 times better than most podcasts.
Do. And I was going to call and do a giant review on the 500 episodes as far as how many movies were reviewed. And,
oh, who knows?
You know, stuff like finding out Jay Stu is a monster and never seen Lethal Weapon or Magnum P.I.
That was, I mean...
You know what's awesome?
Yeah.
Is he's doing exactly what I said when we opened the show.
Yeah.
He goes, I was going to do this.
Yeah.
You know, just like I said, I'm going to do something special for 500. And it's like, you know what? We all got shit going on. Like, we're just doing it.
But
it's fine.
This guy is kind of doing it, and I appreciate it. And let's, like, Jason Stewart, Ed. And I know, yeah. I know we made this point when we were doing the review. Jason Stewart is a huge movie fan. He's much like you. He goes to the movies.
But I go to a lot of movies, but you know what he does? He'll go to all the Oscar nominees, even the like really crappy ones.
Yes, yes. Yeah.
He takes Howard's it next End level.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. He'll do some Merchant Ivory shit.
Yeah. And Lethal Weapon comes out. Jay Stu's probably about 16, 17 years old. It is a juggernaut. It is a phenomenon. Oh, of course
it is. It's the reason Die Hard is a Christmas movie. Like it's a massive, massive thing that everyone saw, because even if you didn't see it in the theaters, when we were kids, because we're of a certain age, that's the ABC movie of the week. That's like, you don't avoid fucking Lethal Weapon. You just don't.
And it was in the zeitgeist. It was everywhere. You couldn't miss it. There's fucking four sequels to it.
Like, dare I say impossible?
Yes, it ignited this genre of movies. Like it's the first of its kind. And Jay Stu's thing was like, I just kind of missed it.
I know. I was just watching too many I Love Lucy's.
Oh shit! We only have 10 minutes. We only have 10 minutes left on Zoom.
All right, go.
Here we go.
But I'm just too fucking late. I was watching Thursday Night Football and, you know, wonderful Al Michaels. And
that's great.
I brought up a story of that dude never eaten a vegetable before in his life. And apparently he has a 4-course dinner during halftime of his broadcast. I don't know if you guys ever heard of that or whatever. And how fucking rich is that guy since he's been doing it for fucking 50 years now?
Ed, I'm making an executive decision here. Let's cliffhang this, because this is good stuff. This is stuff I want to talk about, and this is stuff we could go like 15 minutes on. And just a little behind the scenes, we just wanted to do a quick opener, yes, but also the software that we normally use to connect wouldn't let us sign up. So we had to do this.
We're back to Zoom.
We're on Zoom, and I don't have paid Zoom, and we're going to run out of time. And and Jeff in Denver and these other callers that called in, they deserve more. Now, listen, I could hang up and call Ed back, and we could do it again.
Nah, it's a lot. No, it's a lot.
And it'll give you guys something to look forward to next week. So let's wrap it up.
That would imply that we planned extra for our 500.
Of course
we don't want to give off that vibe.
And we got a whole movie in the background, and plus there's no children in this house right now, and so I'm due. I need the relaxed time.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. Okay, Ed, I appreciate your commitment as always. 500 episodes in, couldn't do without you. Thank you very much. And the listeners, of course, we really couldn't do without you guys.
Love you all.
Thank you
love
for you everything. Please enjoy Wildcats with Travis Rogers, it's me, and Ed Daly. Fantastic. Okay. We'll see you guys next time.
Goodbye.
I'm joined now, as always, by Mr. Ed Daly. Ed, how are you?
Doing well. It's an honor to be on with the improv king, Brian Beckner.
Thank you.
A little inside baseball. He was going, I'm going to start it a little differently today. And he's like, wait, I
it's impossible. Can't be done. And we have a special guest, everybody's favorite, our dear, 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 dear friend, Travis Rogers. Travis, how are you?
Hey, guys. I'm very excited to be here. I don't really like being like here. Not great, but generally speaking, here is good.
Right. Oh, you mean in the...
Yes.
In my section. That's room.
Well, I'm a little close near to my workbench. Am I at least not near your side?
No, that is my side. Look, you see my books.
Oh,
my
yeah.
CPAP. Your CPAP. Right on,
yeah, that's my left knee is virtually on his bed.
Yeah, you could touch it.
I'd rather not.
You could touch it.
I'd really rather not. Yeah,
no, it's right there. That's where I sleep, right there.
Well, that's not the sleeping that I'm preoccupied with.
I kind of made it up. Yes, yes. Oh, could you imagine? I mean, it's...
This window's you know usually closed, right?
It's pretty warm. We got a nice breeze through here. A little bit of housekeeping. We're still giving away my watch, so just send an email, mailbag at the Baller Lifestyle.
Am I eligible for the Luke Leon?
Yeah, if you send an email.
Okay.
You send an email, and I will put you on... Yeah, actually, you can. It's right here.
I've only heard about
often,
it.
Often, I sit here and...
Oh, look at that box.
Yeah, it's got a lion on it, because it's badass. Luke Leon, I realized.
Oh, lion. Yeah.
It's beautiful, right?
It's great.
Gorgeous. Additionally...
Kind of a little pillow?
Somebody this week sent us... I can't... The guy in... I'm blanking on his name. The guy in Minneapolis. Jeff?
It looks good, doesn't it?
It's gorgeous. Yeah, it's beautiful. Look on the back. Look at the back case. I was informed that I screwed up by not...
Baller Lifestyle it's got engraved.
The logo. Yes,
that's
exactly.
That's sweet.
Yeah. So this week, people are sending us names for the old-looking young guy list.
Yeah.
And our buddy in Minneapolis... I'm sorry, I know you, but I've forgotten your name because I'm dumb.
We have a few. Jeff is one of them.
Jeff, yeah. He sent... former Twins manager Tom Kelly.
Oh yeah.
Who? And then I saw a picture of probably a one seed.
Tom Kelly?
Sparky Anderson.
Oh yeah, that's a great one.
Love the heaters.
Oh yeah, he I mean very tan all the time.
And a full head of gray hair in his 30s.
Yes, very young looking old guy. And then I realized that Major League Baseball managers should just be one entry because who was the super old guy that was the manager of the Pirates? Jim
Leland.
Leland.
Yeah.
He was, you thought he was 80.
Well, the cigarettes didn't help. Remember, he was in the dugout burning down Marlboros in games. Yes. That does not keep you young.
But the Seinfeld years, Buck Showalter was in his 30s.
That's crazy.
I think when Tommy Lasorda got the Dodger job, he was like 43.
Unbelievable. Yeah. When he retired in 96, he was only like 60. Or he might not even have been 60.
He was in his early 60s.
Yeah, unbelievable.
Definitely not.
I saw him in the early 2000s in person, and besides being shit-faced, he looked like he was melting.
Oh, yeah.
Ice cream left in the sun.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So just... If people are interested, if you have a name to send us, here's our old guy bracket so far, the names we have. Burt Young, Alan Hale, Jim Backus, Mrs. Howell.
Lovey.
Robin Leach, Lovey. Wilford Brimley, Ted Cruz, Ron DeSantis, John Oliver, the parents from 90210.
Jim and Cindy.
Angela Lansbury in Blue Hawaii, the Golden Girls, Travis Rogers.
Bullshit.
Abe Kaplan. Otis Nixon, Tony Soprano, Hulk Hogan, Charlie Steiner, Nathan Fielder, Tom Kelly, Sparky Anderson, Jim Leland. So we'll have to. Well, this is going to be a robust bracket, right?
Remember,
bullying. I sent you a couple. Conrad Bain.
Yeah. See. Oh, yes. Yeah. Conrad Bain.
I sent you a couple sitcom guys.
Mr. Drummond is a good one.
Yeah. What about the Skipper, Meryl Steubing?
Oh, Gavin McLeod.
Yeah, he was one of the guys I sent you this week.
Yeah.
Kevin McLeod. Oh, and I don't know the age, but I bet Doc wasn't as old as he seemed.
Okay, Doc.
Bernie Koppel.
He's still alive.
Bernie.
I'm told from someone that's met him that he's much like Doc in real life. Doc.
He's a medical provider.
Yes, yeah. Ted Knight.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I forgot about Ted Knight. Okay, so this week we are in honor of the great football holiday and food holiday, the Thanksgiving, we're discussing a football movie, Wildcats, which I was very fond of.
I love this movie.
I loved it too. Upon rewatching, not so much a fan. Like, this movie is not very good.
I remember thinking as it came out, I looked it up last night. Is it 85, something like that? Yeah. So it comes out 86. Yeah. Okay. So 86, I'm in the eighth grade.
Yep.
And I remember thinking it was funny. It was like exciting and titillating.
No, it was
and
awesome.
It was really, really good. I don't think I even cracked a smile rewatching it.
No.
Oh, no. I still enjoyed it. Oh. I don't know what you guys are talking
Ed's
about.
Ed's a fan. Yeah, I remember we would go to dinner at my parents' friend's house, and they had like all the VHSs.
Oh, yeah.
And I'd be like, hey, can I throw in Wildcats? I love Wildcats. Oh, let me throw it on.
Wildcats.
I mean, the song. We'd sing song. I remember I played flag football, and we used their play calls. In our flag, yeah.
Cougars suck dicks?
Yes, yeah. The Cougars are dicks, yeah. All that shit. And it just, upon rewatching last night, it's the nostalgia is all I have for this movie.
Yes.
It came out in 1986. Goldie Hawn, if you're not of a certain age, you don't realize Goldie Hawn was a fucking massive star.
Oh, yeah.
She was like America's sweetheart, very bubbly. She had a new movie every year. She produced this movie. Like, she was a big, big deal at the time. This is her.
This was vehicle. Post Foul Play. Like,
Benjamin.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Like, Foul Play, she was at her most prolific.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like this was.
And that was
just
early for her.
Yeah. But this was a little post Goldie golden era.
Yeah, this is the wind down. Just, I think Overboard came after this.
Oh yeah. Okay. Kurt Russell.
A legendary terp, Goldie Hawn.
Oh really?
Oh yeah.
Oh, who knew?
So I used to bring this movie up to Michelle in college, and she's like, why do you keep bringing up the movie Wildcats? Because, you know, at that point it's the mid 90s, so I wasn't that far removed. I loved it, and I was like, I'm just always trying to find the soundtrack because I wanted that LL Cool J song.
Yeah.
So then, like, I don't think in college, but shortly after, she found at an old record store the LP of the Wildcat soundtrack.
Stop it.
And how about this? And I'm holding it right now. I'm looking at it. How about this bullshit? The LL Cool J song isn't on there.
Too expensive.
Like, you gotta show me where it hurts. Like, they have those songs, but they have no rap on there.
But
no
it,
rap.
Wait, well, it's got some rap because it's got this song, right?
I say they call me Tremaine, the Ebony Lover.
Ebony Lover. No.
Tremaine needed it. He had needs.
He did.
This Football. Is, like, we used to sing this at Football. School and stuff. Like, this was a banger. Cerullo.
How about Cerullo's verse? Ooh. Well, we should get to Cerullo and talk about him in parts.
I have a lot of thoughts on Cerullo.
Yes. Why was he 30, first of all?
Why was his thing just hitting things with his head?
Yeah.
Like, that's not a skill. That's not that great.
Yeah, and breaking wind.
And farting.
Farting. Yes, well, exactly. I kind of like that.
Yes.
Cerullo being perpetually flatulent was a very interesting character choice. Yeah. I like that.
Yep.
And there was a big-time comedy director on this movie.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Ritchie.
What other movies did he do?
Bad News Bears and Fletch, amongst others.
Wow.
But, like, he was a real, like, name in the comedy directing.
That could explain the casting of M. Emmett Walsh.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Fletch legend M. Emmett Walsh.
Have you ever seen a spleen that large?
I wouldn't know. I don't have it.
In the Coen Brothers movie, like their first, what's the
Blood
name?
Simple.
Movie? Blood Simple. He's the killer.
Yeah. Oh, that's right.
He's scary.
He's a great actor. One more thing about Goldie Hawn. I recall that she got her start as a dancer on Laugh-In'.
Yeah.
And what the fuck was Laugh-In'? Like, Trav, you might be old enough to remember it, but Laugh-In was not on when I was a kid, but I remember there would be, like, Laugh-In reunions.
Yeah.
And I'm like, who the fuck is... It was a variety show.
It was, yeah. I don't remember it ever seeing it, but I remember it being a thing that people talked about, like Ed Sullivan. Yeah, like, I don't think anybody's ever seen Ed Sullivan, but everybody talked about Ed Sullivan.
They would do skits.
Yeah. Very funny. Very edgy.
And everyone would break out in dancing and songs. Fuck Laugh-In.
Did they all have feathered hair like Goldie Hawn had in this? Oh. This... Like, her hair and Swoozy Kurtz's hair were
Kurtz's
very
perm.
Of the 80s.
Oh, for sure.
It was incredibly 80s. Yeah. I loved it.
For sure. Also, one of the first scenes, although, so the heavy in this movie, the coach, is played by Bruce McGill, who
D-Day,
which is interesting. He was like 7 years removed from playing D-Day. And now he was 50. He was in college.
He's totally believable as a 50-year-old.
Yeah, he was in college just a few years earlier, And now he's 50 and he's getting ready to retire. And he's the head coach of the.
He's not a very good, I mean, I don't want to jump too far ahead, but he's not a good coach. Like his defensive schemes were very lacking. He gave up very quickly. He was kind of riding the emotions. His football acumen was very, very low.
Well, I mean,
he's kind of like Jack Del Rio. Yeah,
I think it's okay to jump around here. This is the only time in history where the white team was the best team in the city of Chicago. The team with exclusively white players was the big dog on the
street. Well, okay, but if we're just taking like this from a pure artistic endeavor, clearly the movie was designed to make you scared of black people.
Yes, I'll say.
Because when she shows up at Central,
oh yeah.
Really, the only thing that defines it as scary is that the students are black. Yes. That's it. Like, nothing else is really happening. Yeah. It's not violent. There's not guns.
It's kind of barren. Like, there's nothing going on.
No.
But then there is that dog roaming the hallways.
Yeah, a Doberman.
Very 80s thing, Doberman. Yeah, Dobermans.
I haven't seen one since.
No, they don't exist anymore.
But was that common practice, just having a Doberman roaming the halls?
Maybe
in the 80s, Chicago. In Chicago at the black schools. Yes. High school in Chicago had a Doberman.
So
Nipsey.
Nipsey Russell, again, Nipsey Russell was one of those guys that was kind of everywhere and for a long time. And like, what was his gig? Was he a comedian?
A comic.
He was a comic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Was his gig to not be funny?
Right. Yes.
Was that his angle? Yes. Like, hey, I'll just be the comic that's aggressively unfunny.
Yes.
I want to congratulate you on selling the last of the peanut brittle.
Yeah, he's really leaning into the Nipsey Russell of it all.
Yes.
He's very Nipsey-ing.
Nipsey Russell.
Yes, this party is winding down.
I thought he was just the guy from Match Game or whatever. $20,000 pyramid.
He was a game show contestant or panelist or whatever.
That was a
gig
back then.
No, but he had a real career. He wasn't Bruce Valanche. He actually had a real career.
Yes. One of the things I liked is that they negotiate over a good old game of racquetball. Like, everything's so 80s. Like, no one's played racquetball since 1987.
Yeah, it was in Splash, and then this movie, and then nobody's played racquetball
since. It was
everywhere.
There will be movies that we watch in the 2040s that have pickleball in it, and it will be the racquetball of the 1980s.
Right. Yeah.
Where it's like, oh, yeah, remember people did that for like 2 years?
Yes. Yeah.
Remember people were like fully erect for slow tennis?
Yes, with a wiffle ball. I just learned it's played with a wiffle ball.
Yeah,
I thought it was played with a tennis ball.
It's real stupid.
That's some bullshit.
It's real stupid. Yeah, By the way, the racquetball scene has I don't know if it's a continuity error or just something that.
Oh, yeah.
Their clothes are in the corner of the court.
Oh, I didn't notice that.
Yeah,
play the corner of the court. Yes.
Of course you can. The whole point of racquetball is everything's in play.
Yes.
There's a ceiling, a back wall, a front wall, side walls, everything. And they just have their sweatshirts piled up in the corner. It bothered me a great deal.
That's what makes racquetball fun, is that you can play it off every wall. I was interested in the fact that whatever her name, Molly McGrath, Goldie Hawn, she's smoking them at racquetball, but she goes up 4-1 and the game just ends. They're like, okay. That's it. Playing a four.
And she tried to cheat and give him an extra point or reduce one of hers.
Smart.
And Goldie actually wasn't a great leader.
No.
Like there was nothing, like she was very passive. I have a lot of criticism of her coaching.
Well, she just needed that stopwatch.
From your pussies.
Yes.
Coach.
How many 40s were they running? Like what does she need a stopwatch so bad for?
She did make them run a marathon, oddly enough.
Yeah. Where did that rain come from, by the way? Yeah. Like, it was fine, and then it was three inches of rain.
Vietnam.
The track was in bad shape. She David Gogginsed them. She's like, I'll get you to play for me if you just run a long time. And again, what was the motivation? So to explain, if you haven't seen the movie, that she wants to be the JV coach at the nice high school where she's the girls track
coach. And
they
made a choice with the guy who got the job.
Yeah, they did.
So she and
the principal is played by Colonel Sanders from Spaceballs.
Yes. That's right. He was one of those faces that was everywhere.
George
Weiner. I looked him up. George Weiner.
Her dad was like Vince Lombardi. So she knows she's raised on the field. They show her with her little bangs like at practice, and she knows everything about football, but because she's a woman, legitimately, she can't be a coach, obviously. So she volunteers to be the JV coach. She wants the gig. She's obviously qualified, other than the obvious problem.
Her gender.
Yeah, being a woman. But instead, they hire an openly gay, very, very aggressive home for the time, home ec teacher. Wild decision making there. So then she gets, they go, well, you can have,
can we go back to something real quick? Like when they're preparing to play, why do they have them doing like aerobic activities? I've played a little football in my life and we never did like jazzercise to get warm. They didn't do anything football related.
That's all they did.
They just did aerobics to get ready.
Yes. They didn't, you never saw them running plays.
Like stretching. Like I played through high school. Yep. You did stretching. You did like up downs where you shuffle your feet and they blow the whistle and you hit the deck. There was no jazzercise.
No.
Although
there was Oklahoma
does have jazzercise. Those yell practices at A&M, high leg kicking and shit.
What is that all about? That's an odd thing.
I went to a game at Kyle Field at A&M, and I was advised to not try to do the cheers because they were too complicated.
like they cheer along?
They're like, hey, you know, there's going to be a lot of cheering, so you're probably not going to know them, so I wouldn't even try. They're really, really complicated.
They like choreograph with the crowd?
Oh, the whole crowd. They do the hooting, and they do it. And it was meant to be a flex, and it was so great because, A, I would never cheer where somebody could see you. Yeah, that's bad for the look. No. And number two, I'm sure it's not joining your faux militaristic cheers. I don't understand.
Your male cheerleaders.
Don't try. And they're very complicated.
And cool, you can cheer or not cheer. Jimbo's still going to go 7-5 or 8-4.
Yeah. His eyes are pretty far apart,
Yes.
No predators sneaking up on him.
He's not like susceptible to a halibut attacks.
Yeah.
Yes. A flounder. So she goes and they give her the job at the shitty high school.
So D-Day is like, oh, you want a head coaching job? Sure. I got one. And he sends her to Central High.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is
quote urban school.
Yeah. And when she's driving there, it's much like when Chevy Chase drives through East St. Louis.
Yeah, roll them up.
Yeah, I mean,
kind of in reverse because she gets rims when she goes to the bad neighborhood. Chevy gets his hubcaps stolen when he goes to East St. Louis.
Yeah,
she gets overcharged for him.
By the way, they look good. Yeah, I thought it made the bus look really nice. Sharp.
Yes, and also overcharged.
He's driving a VW van. I haven't seen one of those since this movie.
That's true. Yeah.
But that van went from just kind of, okay, whatever, you got a bus to, oh, you got a little flavor on that bus.
Also, she paid $65.
It seemed like a good deal to me.
Bird told her she got ripped off.
Yeah.
And nice to see Bird. I assume he used that Bubba Gump money and got a surgery to help fix his brain or whatever, because he seems a little more together than he was in NAMM.
He's pretty handsome.
He's pretty
gorgeous.
Charming.
The guy's gorgeous.
Was it Bird or was it the Wesley Snipes? What's Wesley Snipes' character's name?
Tremaine.
Tremaine is the other. Was he the one with 10 pounds of dangling fury?
Yes, he was. Yes, he was.
Seems like too much. 10 pounds?
Also, that was in the lexicon. I remember people saying that in the 80s, and I'm like, oh, that's where that came from.
10 pounds of dangling. Yeah. But 10 pounds dangling?
Yes, that's too much.
Low back issue waiting to happen.
So big theme for this movie, though, if you haven't seen it. So she wants to be a football coach. She's a single mother. Her ex-husband is James Keach.
This is wild.
The cop who finds the leash tied to the back of the Griswolds' truck.
That's right.
James Keach.
Ed's so good at that.
Who's married to Jan Hooks.
That's right.
And then she's got two daughters, Robin Lively, who we've done Karate Kid 3. Daniel LaRusso's buddy.
Yeah,
no, remember, they didn't even kiss because he was married and he refused to have a love scene.
That's right. He sent her away. That's
Blake Lively's sister and the sister of Jason, a.k.a. Euro Rusty Griswold.
That's right. She also, the oldest daughter, was the one that Daniel LaRusso had a love interest in Karate Kid 3.
That's what Ed just said.
Oh, I missed that. Yeah. Sorry.
You're taking off your sweatshirt.
Sorry, I took off my sweatshirt while you were talking. I missed that part. I just want to make sure that Daniel LaRusso hitting that got credit.
That's right.
What was the movie we did with Telly Tuputs and we get like three quarters of the way through the podcast and you're like, are you sure you can hear Ed? And he just keeps repeating like the lines. And, and he goes at the end, he's like, you know what? I got to be honest. I haven't been able to hear Ed the whole time.
One of the greatest moments on this show. It's brought me so much joy. And he's like, I can't hear Ed. He's like, I was lying, fam. Last Dragon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other daughter, I looked her up. She's a gold girl. She's a sister of the girl from Benson and Carol Seaver. A third gold.
Missy.
Tracy.
Tracy.
And this one, I forget her name.
Wow.
I think Brian's heard me tell this story before, Ed, but I'm pretty sure Tracy Gold had a thing for me at one point in her life.
That's right. Where would you see her?
She used to live in our neighborhood when I lived up in Santa Clarita, and we would see her occasionally, and we were out to dinner one night, and she stared at me the entire night. Really? So I either had something on my face or she was looking at me.
Maybe she recognized you from Arcadia High School. She saw when you were Athlete of the Year in 1987.
Well, or she knew that because the little brother in Small Miracle.
Small Wonder.
The robot movie. Jamie was an Apache. Jamie. He was a classmate of mine.
I bet he had a rough time in the cafeteria. Well,
pretty small kid. And very actor-y.
Effeminate.
And it was the 80s, and that didn't go over great.
Yes. Very. Yeah.
Breaking news. There's a fourth gold.
What?
Someone named Jesse Gold. Appears to be a girl. Let's see what she's been in. Oh, she might have turned to porn.
Oh, no.
Eating Out 2, Sloppy Seconds.
Whoa.
Eating Out the Open Weekend. What is going on with Jesse Gold?
It's a long weekend.
Well, if your parents are pushing you into show business like the Golds appear to have been, you're having a rough go of it. In life, for sure, as we saw with Tracy.
Well, camera adds 10 pounds,
that's right,
Brian.
That's right. How many cameras were on her?
Not many.
Negative cameras.
Not many.
So, she has these two daughters, and James Keach, the ex, is like, oh, I can't have my daughters being raised by a woman who spends time with black people.
That's right.
Right.
That's the subplot.
Well, they had a party where there was beer. And so obviously there has to be something done about that. You can't let your white preteen daughters hang out with black teenagers at a party. That's not going
to
happen.
It was a Halloween party. Right. Remember?
That's a reason to go to court.
Or maybe it wasn't Halloween, but they turned their dog into the mascot and they called it a bad motherfucker. And James Keach did not like that salty language from his little white girl.
How about the ex-husband just being able to walk into the house and head into the bathroom while the ex-wife's taking a bath?
To see what we got to see.
We got
to see the little perkers from Coach Molly McGrath.
Little mini set.
I remember being more intrigued in that as a 15-year-old than I am as a 50-year-old. That was not what I was hoping to remember.
I thought they were nice.
Yeah, they're cute. They're cute, but she's the producer of the movie, right? So she
could have taken that out.
Yeah, she got to decide, and she decided to show her breasts obscured by the water of the bathtub. So it's like it couldn't have even she couldn't present at her best because everything looks weird through water.
You get those distorted underwater angles.
Yes. Yeah. It's an odd choice.
There was one line that we're in the scene that we're talking about right now when Wesley Snipes and the cheerleader are back at her house after they put the girl to bed because she's been drinking.
Yes,
And the guy comes in, the ex-husband, and he says, "And these two are having sex on your couch." And she says, "No, we weren't. Not when you came in."
Tremaine needed it.
Tremaine. 10 pounds of dangling fury.
She got the job, and her first day of practice, like you cut to the guys in the locker room, and they're like, "Oh, like, we've got a woman head coach," and they're making comments. And this is, I believe, the first movie that Woody Harrelson, one white guy on the team. Woody Harrelson and Wesley Snipes were in together. This is their first movie.
Yeah, it was their first movie together and their first movie, period, for both of them.
And so in the locker room, this is the Dong Show record. I did some pausing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So
they got their helmets over.
She introduces herself to the team. They're naked from the waist down. They got their shoulder pads, their practice jerseys on, and they have their helmets over their dicks. And then they go, "Okay, ready to suit up, coach." And they go to put their helmets on and expose themselves, which is a jailable offense.
Remember in the 80s, women in the locker room, that was a lot of buzz.
Oh, yeah.
Like Zeke Moa. Zeke
Moa. How about these Patriot missiles? Yeah. I believe that was Zeke's quote.
Yeah. Yeah. And his and the rationale was there was, well, if she didn't want me shaking my dick at her, she shouldn't have been a woman. Like, what was she doing being female and having a job if she didn't want my dick pointed directly at her in the locker room?
So I got to say, the 10 pounds of, what is it, fire and fury or whatever?
Dangling fury.
Please.
Dangling fury. Got to say, old Tremaine the Ebony Lover was not packing.
No Vicente Shenko.
He was ready.
In the game.
Yeah.
He's seen that camera.
Who else's dong was visible?
You don't see it, but Cerullo headbutts a locker, and you find out this dude, Cerullo, he farts and bangs lockers with his head. That's what he does. Yeah. And then she takes him out onto the practice field, and she does jazzercise, like Travis was talking
about. That's right, yeah.
And then Tremaine goes, Coach has a really cute ass.
Oh, yeah, he's trying to fuck her the whole time.
But who's watching practice for some reason and also selling watches is Bird, Bubba Gump.
Yeah.
Like he's just like in a trench coat selling watches while practice is going on.
Yeah. He's truant, but he just lingers around the school. And I assume he's truant because he's 28.
Well, okay. So when he starts to try to sell the watches to his future teammates,
he's got Casios.
He opens with a cat. Nobody wants to buy a stolen Casio
in the '80s.
Right. I mean, Casios, that's the one that had like the calculator on the watch.
Yeah,
right?
The one you had when you're holding up the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, but that's like remember in Planes, Trains, and Automobiles when Steve Martin has a nice watch and gets a hotel room, and then John Candy, he's like, I got a Casio, and he has to sleep in the car because they're like, We're not giving you a hotel room for a Casio. No.
I mean, they were never expensive. But if a Casio's $60 and Bird can get you one for $25, you know, you need a watch.
Yeah,
you got to be able to tell the time. There were no iPhones back then.
I feel like a Casio, to commit a crime for a Casio seems like the risk reward is all out of whack. It doesn't seem like
more downside. Yeah.
Much more. So, Ed, what happens? None of them want to play.
So she's ready to quit, and then her friend, and I was really racking my brain. I even looked at IMDb, and it didn't ring a bell. Why did we know Swoozie Kurtz?
She was in tons of stuff.
She was in everything in the 80s.
But I couldn't think of what it was that like was her main role, but that played her best friend. She's about to quit, and then her friend gives her a stopwatch that says, like, you know, proud of you, don't give up or something. So she's like, you know what, I'm going to keep the job. She shows up for the second day of practice. And the team's there, and they do a scrimmage, and Cerullo is a player that they want to run over the coach. He does a play in the scrimmage and just tries to truck her.
He Carlissimos her. He assaults her.
Cerullo wasn't a petty player. He would react to things. Real quick on Swoozie Kurtz.
Yep.
Is that right?
What's
up with the motorcycle? It was a choice.
She's a buddy.
She's around a lot.
Yes. She's your aunt's friend.
She's a sister. Yeah.
Oh, it's the sister?
It's her sister.
Okay.
Yeah.
That explains. But yeah. Motorcycle?
It was kind of weird.
Chicago? Yeah. Downtown? We're going to ride? I don't know.
What about the winter?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just seemed like a...
Not practical.
Specific choice for that character.
Odd choice, yeah. Strange.
But then we know their dad was Vince Lombardi. He was probably doing a number on these girls.
That's true. Making them green bays in the backyard.
The Oklahoma drill.
Yeah, Oklahoma drill.
So then you get to the first game. Or and then maybe after they treat her like shit. And when Cerullo trucks her, they break that stopwatch. And so she challenges them all to like a marathon.
Right.
And they just run around the track until they drop.
Yeah.
And then it becomes a monsoon. And then they have a game. And the first game, you have these two cheerleaders singing Boogie Down, which is pretty funny.
It was good. Yeah. Good cheerleaders. Yeah.
UGLY.
Good cheerleaders. Yeah.
Kind of a stereotypical choice, though. I mean, it felt like
they were making a choice.
Yeah. The whole movie was choice.
This was after they had the intra squad scrimmage where all the starters were like, oh, we'll fuck up the
nerds,
the bench warmers. But she had taught the bench warmers how to do a flea flicker.
Like, trick plays.
Yeah. But they're like, okay, we're going to fuck these guys up in the scrimmage. And then all the best players sit on the bleachers.
They're undisciplined.
They wanted to play a scrimmage so bad that Cerullo and Tremaine and whatever Woody Harrelson's name was just hung on the side. Like, what were they even doing? You figure they're the good players. They would want to be a part of the scrimmage.
Woody had trouble
they just
reading
wanted to talk shit.
Yeah. Woody, by the way, and look, he's an icon. He's a legend. But he was the baldest high school kid I think that's ever.
Had it combed forward.
They were trying to do some stuff to cover up those thigh marks, those power alleys. And
yeah, the island green was eroding.
I mean, he's a legend and he's so charismatic. And you see why he was cast. But he certainly wasn't cast because he looked high school age. Because none of them
did. Is this mid-Cheers? Or pre-Cheers. Was he not on Cheers yet?
Yeah, I think it was pre-Cheers. I think this is his first gig. They might have been like.
He joined Cheers around what, 88 or so?
Coach didn't live that long. He was
one
season.
Speaking of.
Oh, Coach from Cheers.
Coach from Cheers has to be in the old guy bracket.
I think he may have been 60 when he died.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe. Nicholas Colasanto.
I just thought of another one. Roy Orbison.
Oh, yeah.
Still had that jet black hair right to the very end.
He died at like 52.
Roy Orbison? Oh, yeah. Yes.
The traveling Wilburys.
Yeah. He was like in his late 40s. He looked 89 years old. I'm going to type that one-handed type. Roy Orbison. So what else happens, Ed? Then she gets him to buy in by David Goggins-ing them. In a long run. But again, I still don't see the motivation. They're like, oh, we couldn't run as long as her. We better try to play football now. Cause the one guy that's a real, that's probably in prison who was being a real dick to her was like, okay, coach. Like he acknowledged her as coach just cause she could run a longer distance than him.
Yeah. Well, that's right. When he told her to fuck off and she says, fuck you, who? Yeah. And then he gives her the respect of the coach.
Coach.
He was the scariest one of the whole
team.
He's
terrifying. He's in prison for sure.
He's definitely done time. Yeah. So then they have their first game and the Cougars, their opponent has a goat mascot ringing a bell and it's driving them nuts. And this is where they say, they call play Black 24, Black 24, your mother's a whore. Like they were
used that
like
one.
That.
We used that one. My stepdad yelled at me on the way home. Yeah. Well, yeah. Woody Harrelson's a quarterback. That's right.
They come close, but end up losing 31-12.
Very close. Where they kick four field goals?
Yes. Then before the game, I wrote this quote down. So she's like trying to fire them up. And she's like, Cougars would be nothing but a furball when we're done with them. And then Snipes, as Tremaine the Ebony Lover, goes, yeah, let's go eat some pussy. Before the game.
Yeah, it's on brand for his character, but this is where the movie kind of like, there's just random things that are thrown in that don't, I mean, I get it. We've already kind of grasped the fact that Wesley Snipes' character has needs. Like they keep redoubling down on Tremaine's appetites.
Yeah. Yeah. He's trying to fuck everybody. He's fucking that one cheerleader in the living room. Yeah. He's needs it.
I got a question for you guys.
Yeah.
Whatever happened to like just nightgowns? Why is like the 80s women when they would go to bed would have nightgowns?
Oh, yeah.
Like girls, wives, girlfriends, everyone. They would always be in nightgowns. Whatever happened to those? Where did those go away?
Yeah, those are canceled.
Well, they're canceled. The last person to wear it was Peter Brady in the very Brady Christmas special that we did.
Right.
Remember he wore a nightgown and there was no explanation?
And a sleeping cap.
Yeah.
What?
He's like Ebenezer Scrooge.
Yes. Yeah, he randomly had a nightgown on when they all couldn't sleep and they all came downstairs
nobody mentions it. Like, hey, why are you wearing a nightgown? Wild.
So this is Peter's fault that nightgowns are gone.
Yeah, see, he was the last nightgown wearer.
He killed the nightgown. Peter Brady. So Woody Harrelson, the quarterback's like, yeah, I know I'm the quarterback, but like, I kind of suck. There's a really good athlete, Bird, the guy who's watching your practice, who really should be the quarterback. And so they go to Nipsey Russell and Nipsey Russell's like, we have this hate relationship.
Yep. Yep.
Right.
And then they're like, well, where does he live? And she tracks him down at something that was in every shady 80s scene, pool halls.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Where they were a pool hall, a billiard hall was always a big part of if you were a criminal in the '80s,
you hung out in a billiards parlor.
That's where you would linger. Yeah. And everyone had to, it was like a big deal that a woman had walked into the pool hall. Like they all took notice and were like, who the fuck is this? What's she doing?
50-year-old men, Levander,
yes,
and Molly McGrath.
Why did Woody Harrelson not say, hey, we have this really good quarterback and you should find him. His name is Levander. And why didn't he say, he's the guy that's at every single practice watching us. You know him. You've met him. I've seen you talking to him.
He's Bird.
He's Bird.
You don't have to help him commit crimes. Just have practice and then walk over to the side and talk to him.
Yeah, he's over there on the bleachers with his bottom bitch selling Casios. Like, that's the guy. You know the guy. It was an odd decision. Then he takes her on a crime.
To break into his mother's house.
Yeah.
Because the key didn't work. Of her VW van to commit crimes.
Yeah. And they hid from the cops in a dumpster. They had committed no crime at that point.
Well,
they had
done again, nothing wrong.
I get that 80s, he was black.
He's black in the night. Yes. So, you know, so he's up to no good. You got to do something.
She was fine.
Yeah. She could have said, imagine if she would have screamed, it would not have gone well for Levander. That would have been a bad day for him. Might've been his last day.
So she threatened to scream and he's like, fine, I'll be on your team and I'll get your car back that my friend just stole.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Yeah. They make a weird deal. Like there's no real motivation for anybody in this movie to do the things they do. But Bird was good at football. He should have just wanted to play. He seemed to enjoy it. They didn't really talk about why he quit.
No, he's really bad at school, but that wasn't resolved.
Well, none of them were good at school. Remember, they were waiting for their computers to get their GPAs officially submitted to the district.
They needed a 2.0.
Yeah, well, let me check my computer. Which,
look, sometimes having a 2.0 can affect your ability to play spring JV baseball at Costa Mesa High School. You know, like, you're out there.
You guys had computers, I see.
You're out there, you're doing shit, and then you're like, wait, they check our grades every week? Oh, you got to have a 2.0? Oh, shit. That's the end of this. What else happens, Ed?
Well, so they have a victory party. So they get Bird, and Bird is like awesome, like just doing everything. Yeah. They have their first victory party.
It's pretty athletic. Didn't see that in NAMM.
There's lots of booze. Yeah. He was a real sluggish piece of shit in NAMM, but he was very athletic. They win the game. They have a victory party at the coach's house because that's a totally normal thing to do. And booze is happening. And her ex-husband shows up with Jan Hooks and he's like trying to wade through the people to find his daughters. And Tremaine, the Ebony Lover, isolates Jan Hooks and he goes, hey, what's your name and favorite sexual position?
It's a good line.
He doesn't beat around the bush. You got to give him credit for that.
That has worked before for him, obviously.
Oh, for sure.
I think this is in the same part of the movie, too, where when they're putting the older daughter to bed when she's been drinking, and she just goes with the very casual racism of, hey, homegirl.
What's up, homegirl? It's
like, whoa. Like, it's just, there's a lot. I really like this movie. The more we're talking about it, the more I like
there's
it.
There's so much racism in this movie.
I find it funny in a different way.
Yes.
You find it actually funny. there's so much racism in this movie. It's like white noise.
I have a list.
You can't even see the racism because it's just all racism.
Well, I don't know if this was something that happened in Chicago. I grew up in L.A., so I don't know. Maybe this is a Chicago thing, but every time one of the black players would score a touchdown, they'd all spin on their heads in the end zone.
That's right.
Pretty sweet dance.
I don't know. Like that never happened at Arcadia High. I don't know.
Yeah. Never saw that. Oh, it doesn't seem safe.
Well, I feel like they like high five and run back and like say good job, but they don't they just don't spontaneously break into dance at a touchdown.
Yes, I know.
It just feels again.
The white team like didn't do that.
No, the white team never. Yes. No, of course not. No, only Central did.
Well, the white team they had their noses in the playbook all the time. Well, they couldn't
first
rely.
One's in, first ones out.
Just kids.
They couldn't rely on their athleticism.
Coach
had to know the game.
Film rat.
sneaky athleticism.
Right.
So that party, like when Snipes is trying to sex Jan Hooks, Snipes' 40-year-old, 300-pound girlfriend is not happy and starts pulling Jan Hooks' hair.
Marva.
He liked him thick like Tony Finau.
Marva. And then they're screaming, and James Keach is like, hey, what's going on over there? And the principal's like, hey, what's going on? And then James Keach just winds up and punches the principal.
A lot of people get punched.
Party must be winding down.
A lot of just random punching, because the big fat guy punches the ex-husband, Finch. Too. Yeah, Finch.
We're about to meet Finch. So after the party, he files papers like, yeah, my daughters are now around black people and alcohol, and so I want to take full custody unless you quit your job.
That was 100% his case in court, that my ex-wife works around black people.
She's pursuing her career in an environment that contains black people.
One thing I will say, he lines her up a way better job.
Yeah.
He's like, you can keep the kids if we send them to this bougie prep school.
Chatham.
Where they're willing to hire you. That 100% paid better than whatever she was doing at Central.
It's not her passion, Brian.
Football.
Football is her passion. Her father made her a football coach, and she needs to chase her dream at Central or otherwise.
Vince Lombardi McGrath set her up for that.
So then we meet Finch, who's he was an NCAA heavyweight wrestling champion. The actor's name is Tab Thacker. He was in some Police Academy movies too.
Oh, no kidding.
And he was 6'4", 450 pounds.
Oh my gosh.
Surprisingly enough, he's no longer with us. Uh-huh. He's 7 at 45 years old.
I looked it up.
Did he exercise himself to death?
Yes.
He had a great vertical.
He had a remodeling business after Hollywood, and then operated several nightclubs and became a bail bondsman.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that sounds right.
Oh, no, you would go with him.
Yeah. Yeah, well.
Unless you could skip.
When Tab says, you're coming with me, you're coming with him.
Yes.
So he's enormous, but he's a big nerd, and he's talking physics with Trullo, who's like, I bet I can dent that locker. And he's like, you're going to get a concussion, and then that's what happened.
Did you happen to notice he had two pictures in his locker?
I didn't look.
Yes,
Finch or Cirullo?
Finch.
Okay.
He had two pictures in his locker. One, Albert Einstein. I mean,
okay.
I guess.
Nerd.
Yes. The other one, Lee Iacocca.
It's not even Detroit.
Right. The inventor of the Mustang. Lee Iacocca. I'm like, who is that old guy? And I'm like, wait, that's Lee. I'm like, how do I even know that? How do I know that's Lee Iacocca?
Lee Iacocca was everywhere in the 80s.
He was.
Lee Iacocca, like, what did he save Chrysler?
Chrysler.
Yeah, like Chrysler was about to go out, and Lee Iacocca was a leadership baron.
He's a savior, and he gave lots of overpriced speeches.
Yes. He and Peter Uberoth.
Oh, yeah. Peter Uberoth. Yes,
exactly.
So I looked up at this point. So Cirullo gets the concussion, and Coach McGrath's like, I need a new player. But then I was like, well, whatever happened to Cirullo? And he was in a couple things that I looked up. The actor's name is Jesus Garcia, or Jesus Garcia. His IMDb like factoid is Garcia is an ordained minister in the movement of spiritual inner awareness now.
Which is?
No, that's one of those. That's one of those ones you
like
get online,
cult, right?
Yeah, no, that's
it's like Nixium.
That's like the Unitarian Church. That's what, like, when your fraternity buddy needs someone to
get married
or get ordained.
Right.
You go to whatever Cirullo went to.
I thought until Brian corrected me this morning, I thought Cirullo was Isai Morales until today.
I recalled him being George Clooney until I saw the movie.
He was going for a look with that hair.
Greasy. Very greasy.
Yeah, very greasy.
A lot of zits.
So she's like, I need a new player, and you're 400 pounds, so, like, you should play for me. And he's like, all right, you got to pay me.
Right.
And then, like, they put him on the field. They tape a jersey to him because he's too fat to fit inside of one. And he refuses to play. He just sits there in the field. And so they come up with a play to trip him and land on top of other people. And it works. And they win a game.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I do like when they're huddled up and he just sits at the line of scrimmage. Yeah. Yeah. I did enjoy that.
How y'all doing? So at this point, they make the state finals, but she's got this like court case looming. Right. Isn't yes. it like,
yep. yeah.
And then
yeah.
they have the pep rally and LL Cool J is at the pep rally. He's rapping.
Oh, I didn't see that.
Yeah, he's on stage at the pep rally. Like, oh, right. Rapping.
Yeah.
And they spike the punch and her daughter's at the pep rally and gets shit faced.
Tremaine carries her home, literally.
With Marva. Yeah, Tremaine, he and Marva take her home.
Yeah.
And she gives a speech. Well, she's like talking to the team. And then they're like, hey, we got you a new watch that we broke. And it says, Coach, we owe you love from your pussies.
Again, how much timing was she doing? Like, what's
right? They keep a clock.
Yeah.
Like, you need a watch to know, like, all right, practice is going to wrap up at 6 today. But like, you don't. You don't need to do much more.
No, this isn't the beautiful game where the only one that's allowed to know how much time in the game is the right. guy on the field.
Right. Yeah. Well, you don't want to let anybody know how much time right. is left. No, in
why
the
would
game.
You want to know
just,
that?
You just yeah. let it go.
It's just going to end when he says it.
It's going to end in 6-ish minutes of extra time.
Yes. But when they give her the watch,
end up being 11. How could we know?
Only that four. Brazilian guy knows.
Yeah. When they're giving her the watch, was that a school dance or pep rally or whatever that thing is?
It was the pep rally.
The pep rally on the back wall, like. When she's on the stage, like if you're putting yourself in Goldie's shoes, look, her POV on the back wall of there, it says "fuck the Falcons," but it's a PHUCK the Falcons.
Beautiful.
Oh, it's beautiful. Terrific.
No, it's an end around.
It's terrific.
That's a workaround.
It's the end around.
It's one of those. Whoever was in charge of set decoration really genius. Went the extra mile. Yes. It was well done.
I love it.
So Tremaine the Ebony Lover and Marva, they drive Alice home and like they responsibly like put her in her bed.
Yeah.
They're like, you need to be home. They actually do the right thing for her and just get her home. And I noticed she had three posters on her her wall.
Oh, yes.
An eclectic mix. Laura Branigan.
Yes.
Oh, Gloria. Yes. Gloria. I mean,
that's a banger. Yeah. That's a banger.
It's a hot song. Nobody had a Laura.
Robert Plant doesn't seem like the thing a girl with pink hair in the 80s is like really into.
Interesting. Yeah.
Robert Plant and Phil Collins, the Cabbage Patch rocker.
Strange. Yeah.
But Phil Collins was super 80s. Like
he was
hot as hell.
Yeah,
no,
he was hot.
Yeah. I just point. Think Robert Plant doesn't fit in that mix.
On her adjacent wall, adjacent to those three posters, she had a Twisted Sister.
Oh, Dee Snider.
Yes, that was quite a moment.
Oh, yeah.
Twisted Sister.
Oh, yeah. So I don't know if it's the scene where they're tucking her in bed when she's wasted or when Goldie is...
Gets in bed with her.
Gets in bed with her when she's got the purple hair. She has a rub-on, like, yes, anchor tattoo on her.
Scorpion.
It's a scorpion.
Yeah.
And the mother is horrified that her daughter has a temporary tattoo. Very 80s.
Yes.
That a tattoo was a symbol of your life has come to an end. If you have a tattoo, you're marked. That's it. It's over.
What do you think about this tattoo?
That's pretty big. I like it. It's a little larger than I would choose, but I do like it.
So if you had to say a small or big, what would you call this tattoo?
Big.
It's big? Oh, okay.
Yeah, very. I'd even say very big. Have you had the pleasure, Ed?
Of what?
Of seeing a Brian's tiger tattoo?
No, I've not.
It's rather large. It's from his wrist beyond his elbow.
That's right.
That's a lot.
It's bigger than...
it's noticeable.
...than Lively's tattoo. Right. Lively's that came out of a box of Cracker Jacks. Right, it was there for five minutes.
It, like, peels pretty easily. So Frank, she calls up her dad's new wife and just, like, lets her have it. And so Frank rushes over. He's like, oh, my daughter's drunk. And Goldie Hawn gets there at the same time. And, like, he's yelling. And then Finch punches just... He doesn't like the way Frank is talking, and he punches him and knocks him out. And then we cut to court because this is the hearing where we decide custody. And the team shows up as character witnesses for Coach McGrath, and they do a horrible job. And the judge is like, you suckers think you bad?
Yeah.
Sit down, turkeys.
I've said. So again,
they gave us a black judge.
I believe there are three different instances where someone gets called a turkey.
Yes.
And the by far the best one is when the judge addresses the football players as you turkeys that you think you're tough. But again, of the moment, people were called turkeys in the 80s. I haven't heard. When was the last time you called one of your kids a turkey or one of your friends? Stop being a turkey.
Never.
What? Yes. I don't even know what it means.
It's not a good one. No, it's not a good one.
No.
But if you say turkey,
Yeah.
It's a little different. Oh,
you accent it.
If you say it correctly, yes. It's a little different. Yes. You don't call someone a turkey. You call someone a turkey.
Turkey. Yes. You turkey.
We're bringing it back.
Yes, you should.
Might have to bring it back.
It's pretty good.
So then she's like, fine, I'm going to lose this case because these guys have really fucked it up. And clearly the prospect of me coaching black guys is going to ruin my chance of having children. Of course. And so she's like, fine, I'll take the gym teacher job at Chatham. And the team is like all upset. And they're like, oh, she's quitting. But they still have the city championship against D-Day's team, which is like a white school who wears generic uniforms that look like, you know, in like TV ads where they're selling a TV and
they can't be like the 49ers.
Yeah. It's just a red team. Yeah. That's what they look like. Just like generic, like TV commercial red team.
Yeah. Howard's TV and appliances doesn't have a deal with the NFL.
Right.
So George Kittle just wears a red thing. Yeah.
So you're really just watching Prescott High School on those TVs.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah, exactly.
And you see some toe kickers. It seems like Prescott's strategy is just getting away with personal fouls, like stepping on heads and shit like that. Yeah. But they're winning.
Everybody kicks like Tom Dempsey in this movie. Like they didn't
toe kicking.
Yeah, it was aggressive.
They didn't have an actual straight man there on set to point out how football is done. Because
you saw who they hired to coach the JV team.
I will say this. Yeah. My team as a little kid. The Redskins, the MVP of the league was Mark Mosley, who was a toe kicker who kicked like 60% field goals.
Yeah, yes, but in his defense, he had that beautiful single bar helmet.
So did the quarterback on that team.
And that gorgeous, that gorgeous flowing perm.
He did. Yeah.
He did have a perm.
Did he have a mustache too?
I don't think so. No? I don't recall him having a mustache.
Not in the MVP era. But maybe earlier in his career.
Yes. Yeah. Gorgeous, gorgeous perm, though.
So it's halftime. And also, Finch is on the bench, but he's eating cheesecake.
Okay. I have questions. Yeah. He has two different cakes on the sidelines. There's one that looks like a cheesecake, and then there's another that looks more like a chocolate variety of something or other. Where did they come from? Like, is there just a but he's got multiple cakes?
Ralph's on the way. Yeah.
But where do you keep them?
But he's. Trav, here's what you're not realizing.
He didn't get that way by not eating. Yeah, he knows the places to get food, Travis.
He's so fat. And
remember, I told you he's 450 pounds.
I understand, but do we really have to remind that, hey, he can't stop eating cake for 2 hours?
Yeah, how would you know he was a giant fat man if he wasn't always eating cake? And keeping $10 bills next to his ball sack.
Yeah. All right, 15.
Yes. So it's a listless first half, and Molly senses that the players aren't trying hard because they know she's quitting to become a much higher paid
jazzercise coach.
So like the players are just like not feeling it. She's like, all right, we're marching into the crowd. She tells her ex-husband, James Keach, she's not leaving to coach Jim at the private school. She wants to fight him in court and I'll take you to the Supreme Court. And James Keach, like a bitch, just goes, all right. And then she's like, and you have to. And oh, yeah. And then people in the crowd are going, don't make her give up the kids, Frank. Yeah, give up the kids. You give up the kids, you worm. Yeah.
Meanwhile, he's 20 grand into his lawyers. Like, this is a serious thing. Like, he obviously wants his kids.
Yeah, you got me. And she's like, and another thing, you better be cheering loud. And like a bitch, he's just like, all right, now I'm a super fan. And I've just bending over and taking it.
This is a great game.
Yes.
I believe that's one of his lines of dialogue towards the end. This is a great game.
Yeah, he's never seen football. And also,
wasn't that good of a game.
How good could it have been? It was high school.
It wasn't that good of a game. No one was open. The offensive line was poor. There was a lot of missed tackles. There was toe kicking, bad special teams play that ultimately decided the game.
Yes.
There's a lot going on. It was really poorly played football.
Also, this could not have been the top league in Chicago because
they played all their games. Hills League.
Yeah, they played all their games in the daytime. Everybody knows football's playing at Friday night.
They're playing on grass that needs to be mowed. Like they could. Yes. I understand the movie budget. You want to cut corners.
Yep.
You couldn't mow the grass. It's like really long grass they're playing at.
Well, hold on. Maybe they had a running quarterback like Jalen Hurts. Like they had to wet down the field.
A wet track.
That's right.
Like the Giants used to do to Maury Wills.
Prescott, you're thinking they let the grass grow so birds couldn't run?
That's right. Exactly. Yeah. It's like when Derek Lowe used to start, they'd wet down in front of the mound because he threw sinkers, you know?
Yeah.
So Finch goes over to the Prescott sideline. I'm not sure that this is something that can happen, but he went over to the Prescott sideline wanting to get paid by D-Day. He's like, I'll play for you if you pay me.
He's a free agent.
And then D-Day calls him a fat fuck, and he's like, all right, now I'm motivated to go play for Central High.
Put me in, coach.
I feel like he might have heard that.
And then
that
he tries to pay Molly McGrath with his ball sack $10 bill. And
would have had
D-Day, I believe he ups his price to 15 when Coach McGrath initially declines the $10 offer. Yeah.
And D-Day's like, wait a second, he's paying her? He's got money? She's paying her players? And Prescott's going for the key field goal to win the game. And Finch jumps like 8 feet in the air.
Yeah.
He just keeps soaring upward with his giant belly. Yeah. And he blocks the kick.
Yeah, he was like Dwight Stones out there with his leaping ability. He was like Vince Carter.
And then Bird.
Javier Sotomayor.
Oh, yeah.
Bird, it becomes a kick six type situation. Bird, like, glides to the end zone. Picks it up, like, dodges some tackles, you know.
Now that was,
scores the winning touchdown.
Was that the game-winning field goal? LS, hell yes, the lifestyle's hey, fam, there's still a lot more of this episode to hear, but it's only available to our bonus content subscribers. Click the link in the show notes or go to theballerlifestyle.com and subscribe so you never miss a minute of the show. Chosen to others, top podcast, man, no one is above us. Five star, even the haters will love us. And we're not trying to talk politics a lot. We'd much rather talk about dicks a lot. Shit so hot, man. You know the shit's on top. Top podcast, man, it really hits the spot. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is so flawless. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. Listen up, you players and shot callers. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller. And you know the show is for all us. TBLS, the lifestyle's baller.